For all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. But having been, Romans 3, now verse 24, but having been justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. When you think about redemption, and you understand and contemplate that redemption as it attaches itself to a person in Jesus Christ, surely that ought to cause those of us who understand that redemption and have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, surely it would cause forth in us praise. Surely it would cause us to want to live by the words that we just sang, that Jesus is everything. We would be more motivated, I would be more motivated to go and share the gospel of grace to all the world. Welcome this morning to all who are here, especially those that are visiting with us this morning. If you are a visitor, again I say to you and we say to you, welcome. We're surely glad that you are with us this morning. Appreciate Brother Travis and his leadership this morning in song, and those songs that we had to sing together that would cause us to reflect with regards to what we want to consider together this morning, the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Let's go together. First, find Titus chapter 3 and put your finger there. Titus chapter 3. Put a finger there and then go to Ephesians chapter 2. Find Titus chapter 3 and put your finger there and then go back to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. When you have found Titus 3, mark that, and then go back to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And you... Now, Paul was writing to saints, Ephesians 1 and verse 1. Saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And he just reminds them here in chapter 2. Remember, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. But, Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, God, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You notice that the passage here begins with a reference that they were once dead. Dead in trespasses, dead in sin. But it ends with a contemplation that they are now alive, alive in Jesus Christ, and that alive in Christ is the result of the grace of God through the provision of Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. For we ourselves were also once, as Paul writes to Titus, once foolish, once disobedient, once deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, sounds an awful lot like Ephesians 2. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration, through the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That having been, Titus 3 and verse 7, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Why do we have hope of eternal life? Because of the grace of God. And notice terms that Paul used in Ephesians chapter 2. And notice terms that Paul used in Titus chapter 3. He used terms like kindness and mercy and love. And all of these attach themselves to God's favor. God manifesting favor. Kindness and mercy. When what was due me, what was due you, because of our sins, was wrath and condemnation. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, it says that we're justified by grace. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, it says that we're justified by grace. And we need to preach that. According to His mercy, He has saved us. We're justified by grace. Now, the same New Testament that speaks of justification by grace is that same New Testament that speaks of justification by faith. This speaks of justification by blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lamb, God's Lamb, our Savior. I'm going to be doing something this morning in my preaching that I do not normally do. And you will find me at several points in my preaching making appeals to those that are not here. And the reason I'm making appeals to those who are not present in this assembly this morning is because I want others to get a copy of this sermon. Or download this sermon when it is posted or uploaded to our website, and I want them to listen and give attention to what the Word of God teaches regarding God's love and His mercy and His kindness and His grace. Yes, there are those in this world, there are preachers who twist and distort the grace of God. They use even passages to teach what the Word was never designed to teach. They want to twist or distort the grace of God and cause it to become, if you will, license to ungodliness and loose living. That's wrong. Grace does not allow us in Jesus Christ to live any way we want to live. But just as there are those who twist and pervert the grace of God, so there are those in pews all across this country. There are those who will be listening to this sermon later on this week. And I'm convinced they're doubting the grace of God. As we sing in one of our songs, they're really not convinced that the grace of God can reach them. They're doubting that the love of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God can reach them. They're at a point in their life and they're not sure that God can save them. And the Bible says otherwise. There are those, perhaps, in my presence this morning and those in my absence. In doubting the grace of God, they do not believe that the grace of God is sufficient. The favor of God, the kindness of God is sufficient to help them to overcome tragedy, difficulty, anxiety, turmoil in their life. We sing songs like Amazing Grace. And what's so amazing about grace? I hope you see already what's so amazing about grace. Because what we deserved, what I deserved, was wrath. And God demonstrated His kindness. In the song Amazing Grace, we speak of words, we sing things like grace that saved, grace that taught, grace that relieved, grace that brought me safe through dangers and toils and snares. Are you really doubting the grace of God? Because to doubt the grace of God is to doubt God. God can save you if you will let Him. God's gospel of grace and the proclamation and the good news that Jesus died for you because that's how much Jesus loved you. That blood that Jesus shed can reach you and can cleanse you if you will respond in faith. You have to believe. Grace can teach your heart reverence and respect for God. But you'll have to let that grace teach your heart to fear. Grace can relieve you of those fears, but you have to believe in that grace. And grace is sufficient to take you from pain, from sorrow, from doubt, from tragedy, to triumph, to acceptance. You have to believe. And what I'm asking you to do, those in my presence this morning, and what I'm asking you to do, those that may be listening to this message by CD or through our website, is I'm asking you to believe in God and believe in Jesus Christ and believe in the Holy Spirit revealed Word that's found in the Scripture so that you will see and be brought to an understanding of just what's so amazing about God's grace. When you contemplate God's amazing grace, remember, God declares through His grace and the provision of His Son, Jesus Christ, just how much He loves you. Just how much God loves you. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, our brother read to us from Romans 5 and verse 8. We are reminded that God demonstrated His own love. He demonstrated His love toward you by sending Jesus Christ to die for you. And that while we were yet sinners, we were enemies. We were separated from God's favor. But God, through the provision of Jesus Christ, provided for us redemption, a way to be forgiven of our sins. God so loved the world, John 3:16. And you can underline the world in your Bible and put your name there because it does not do injustice to the text, nor does it do injustice to the message that God wants everyone to understand. This is how much God loved and how much God does love today you. That He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, to die for you. There was no other way for God to satisfy. There was no other one who could satisfy the demands of God, the penalty for my sin and your sin. Jesus Christ, the propitiation, the one who appeased God's wrath because of your sin, because of my sin. And God loved you and He loved me enough to send Jesus the Christ to die. And what that argues is that you could not and I could not save myself. that Jesus tasted death for every man. And again, underline every man in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 and put your name there. Jesus Christ tasted death for you by the grace of God. That's what makes grace so amazing. You see, I needed a Savior. And you needed a Savior. Jesus Christ was God's answer and God's provision for man's greatest problem, and that is sin. I mention Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 24 now, being justified, Romans 3, 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Note verse 25 of Romans 3, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His or God's righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. You see, God could not turn and look the other way. Because of sin, God could not turn and look the other way. God could not and He would not ignore sin. 1 John 1 and verse 5, God is light. He's absolute purity, holiness. There has never been, there will never be any spot or blemish in the Lord. And because God is light, in Him is no darkness. God could not ignore our sin. In order for God to be just and the justifier, through His provision of kindness and because of His mercy, He sent Jesus Christ into the world. Years ago when I was in a meeting, I stayed with a family, and he was a retired firefighter. And what I found interesting is not just hearing some of his stories as a firefighter, but what kept coming back to my mind over and over again is this man gave 30 plus years of his life on a regular basis, putting his life on the line to save people he didn't even know. He knew nothing about that person in that building that was on fire. He knew nothing about that family in that house that was on fire. And yet, knowing nothing about the individual or the individuals, he was willing to risk his life to save someone. But God knew something about me. And He knew something about you. And He knew that we would sin. He knew that in our minds we were hostile. And yet He still gave the best that He had in order to save a sinner like me. And what God says is you couldn't save yourself. But I gave someone for you to make your redemption and salvation possible. Surely we understand what grace tells us. Surely we can see what grace tells us about the love of God and the mercy of God and the kindness of God through the provision of Jesus Christ. But may we also appreciate what grace teaches us. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. When you contemplate the goodness of God, Paul would speak in Romans chapter 2 that goodness of God ought to move men to repentance. the grace of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God, when there was no other way for us to save ourselves, we were without hope. When you understand the grace of God, surely we can appreciate, especially to those of us now in Christ Jesus, that grace must also teach us. It must also instruct us on how to continue to live before God with reverence and great godly fear. I want to take us to Titus chapter 2 now. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Grace teaches us to leave behind sin. Titus 2, beginning in verse 11, "For the grace of God that brought salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us grace," Titus 2 and verse 12, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed," listen to the language, "and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works." Zealous for good works. Could it be, church, could it be that in our churches today we've created an environment where it's acceptable to be a Christian without being a disciple? Such is not possible. To understand, to believe, to accept, and to live by the grace of God that is so amazing causes me to live in today in a certain kind of way. It causes me to be zealous, on fire, enthusiastic, energetic in the things of God and the purposes of God. Our brother prayed about that last Lord's Day morning. And sometimes we just need to be reminded that we need to get up, that I need to get up and to walk in grace today, one day at a time, and simply do what I'm able to do to share with others the amazing grace of God, so that others can see in my life that Jesus Christ has made a difference. Life is about ups and downs. Life is about triumph and tragedy. You will not always be on a mountaintop. But because of Jesus Christ, I can walk in victory. Because He is raised and was resurrected by the power of God, one day I will be raised. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. That's understanding grace. And a lost world needs to see, especially in the redeemed in Jesus Christ, that we are manifesting each day that we live hope. But I just can't live any way I want to live. Grace teaches me to leave behind sin. I'm not talking about moments of weakness. And thanks be to God that in the provision of Jesus Christ in the blood and through prayer, there is forgiveness. That we have, as the Apostle John mentions, an advocate with God the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So that when I get on my knees as a child of God, having fallen in sin in a moment of weakness, and I say, "God, forgive me and be merciful to me, a sinner," He will cleanse me and forgive me of any sin. Doesn't mean He'll take away the consequence. It doesn't mean He'll remove the heartache because of my rebellion or my iniquity or my lawlessness, but it means He will forgive me. I can again be declared by God, because of the provision of Jesus Christ, righteous. But there's no place for continual persistence in ungodliness and unrighteousness. I need to live for Christ, which means I must manifest in my living because of the grace of God. I must manifest an attitude of reverence, not an attitude of irreverence. That's ungodliness. I must manifest in my living a desire and a passion for God and the things of God, not a desire and passion for worldly things, for wrong things, for sinful things. Sometimes the passion that burns in me and the desire that is in me is not of God because I'm being dominated by the flesh. My mind is not attuned to the things of God. My mind is more attuned to me. My mind's not attuned to the things of God. My mind's more attuned to earthly and temporal things. And he says in Titus chapter 2, that's why we need to live soberly and righteously and godly. To those here this morning, are you looking at God's grace properly? Listen to me. To those here this morning, are you looking at the grace of God properly? I mentioned the song, His Grace Reaches Me. And my appeal in mentioning that song was, do not doubt the grace of God that can reach you and save you. In that song, His Grace Reaches Me, here's what we've been singing in our churches for a long, long time. For I'm under His control, and I'm happy in my soul just to know that His grace reaches me. Question. Am I, are you under God's control? Are you under God's control? To where you can honestly say today, this morning, the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's no longer I that lives. It's Christ living in me. It's not about me. It's about God. Could you honestly say that? That you are under His control? If your answer to that is yes, then God be praised. But sometimes I answer yes to a question like that when God would say otherwise. In love, I suggest to you this morning, if you view worship to God as a burden or a chore, I say lovingly, you cannot be under God's control. You've forgotten the grace of God. If it's a struggle for you to worship with the people of God, to pour out your heart before God in praise, to consider again the love, the kindness, and the mercy of God that made your salvation possible, then I would submit to you in love this morning, you cannot be under God's control. If you are not zealous for good works, please explain to me how I can be under God's control and be apathetic You see why sometimes the message just needs to ring in our ears and touch our hearts? Lord, make Calvary real to me. Do we forget who and what it's all about? Yes, we do sometimes. And how can I say I'm under God's control if Jesus isn't everything to me? I'm working on a sermon. And the title that I've given the sermon is When Jesus Is Not Enough. I wonder for you this morning if Jesus is enough. There's salvation, said the Apostle Peter in the book of Acts, there's salvation in no other name. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which you might be saved. That's the name of Jesus. Is Jesus enough for you? He has to be, because He's the only one. He's the only way. You can't save yourself. You cannot be saved by good works. If you could be saved by good works, if you could be saved by keeping God's law, then that would necessitate that you and I keep that law perfectly. You cannot do that. So God sent in the person of Jesus Christ a Redeemer, a Savior, a spotless Lamb to shed His blood, to die on the cross, to save you. You must believe with all of your heart. If you're in this assembly this morning, if you're listening in some other way, you must believe with all of your heart that Jesus is who He said He was, the Christ of God. But belief is not enough. Belief alone will not save you. Oh, I understand we read from Ephesians chapter 2, by grace are you saved through faith. But Ephesians 2 and verse 8 does not say that we're saved by grace alone through faith alone. But it says we are saved by grace through faith. Your faith in Jesus Christ must move you to respond to the gospel of grace. To do what Jesus Himself said you must do in order to reach His blood. So you must repent of your sins. You must do what those on the day of Pentecost were told to do by the Apostle Peter in Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized. You must be immersed. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 2 and verse 38, for or unto the remission of your sins. There's no other way to be saved through the provision of Jesus Christ by the grace of God than putting Christ on in baptism, Galatians 3:27. And if you are here this morning and you have fallen from grace, you have failed the grace of God, repent of your wickedness. And pray to God that the thought of your heart might be forgiven you. Don't doubt His grace. Don't question His mercy or His kindness or His love. If you will repent and fully repent with contrition and sorrow in your heart, with a determination in your mind to turn from that sin or those sins, God has promised to forgive you and remove you of that sin. And you can be again today because of the grace of God. You can be declared again by God righteous. That's what's so amazing about grace. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?